All right, Jim Taylor on WRMJ. We get a few words with State Representative Dan Swanson, who represents all of Mercer County. Of course, last week the story released involving Speaker of the House Michael Madigan, his connection with the ComEd investigation, and I guess your reaction to that this morning, Representative Swanson.
Yes. Well, good morning, Jim. On Friday, I did a press release calling on Speaker Madigan's resignation. As a leader, he needs to lead without being under investigation. He needs to be a leader who supports his people instead of the people supporting him. I believe currently there are about 14 majority party members who have too asked for his resignation. So some of them are coming under a line and asking for the Speaker's resignation, too. We've heard the governor ask for his resignation if these allegations are found to be true. So it's just going to be a matter of time, and we'll see how the news headlines shake out here in the next couple days.
And I guess just what does that mean when you hear a story like that involving ComEd and the Speaker of the House, and I think what they documented, some 8 years, I believe it went on?
Right, at least 8 years. And the allegations are that Speaker Madigan put pressure on ComEd to hire some of his people for jobs that they didn't actually have to report to work, just receive compensation for being on ComEd's payroll. And certainly that falls under the illegal acts, and Speaker Madigan should be held accountable for what he's tried to do there. And and in favor of hiring those people, Speaker Madigan was said in the allegations to have potentially influenced some votes on some pro-ComEd legislation. And, it just stinks.
Well, and you mentioned the number of people within his own party that have asked him to resign, including the governor. And in terms of just like rank and file members, has anybody heard what he's going to do?
No, he's his press release that came out Friday was pretty non-committal. It actually was no commitment at all, just that we'll have to wait and see from his words too. But there is building some pressure, like I said, from his own majority party members. So we'll just have to see. Of course, he's denying all the allegations, but the federal investigators are really putting together a strong. And what the federal investigators, from what I've read and heard, was that they're hoping that some of these patronage jobs or some of these people come forward and admit to what took place to probably protect themselves.
All right, switching
from any prosecution.
Switching directions here, I know most local schools going to return to class somewhere around mid-August, and most schools are going to offer basically parents the opportunity for remote or e-learning or in-class learning. It's basically the parents' choice. The majority of the school districts offering that basically kind of for the first quarter. Now, kind of dovetailing with that, I get a lot of questions about, well, what can be done in regards to the Illinois Department of Public Health as they view high school sports in Illinois? Because the IHSA is kind of deferred now to the State Board of Education and the Illinois Department of Public Health on return to play. Have you had many conversations with anyone in regards to high school sports in Illinois? I know the first official day of fall sports practices are August the 10th. The IHSA has a special board meeting, I think, this week, Wednesday, July the 22nd. And, there's concern about will there be fall sports in Illinois starting August 10th. Has the state legislature or you, is that a topic of conversation? Is there anything that can be done from a legislative standpoint as it relates to the Department of Public Health and the governor and ISB in terms of high school sports? Or is that just something that's up to those agencies?
Well, we certainly can have some influence, but we certainly need the communication with our constituents. I've not had much concern concern or much discussion with any of the constituents. I have had a couple of parents who have reached out and said, hey, you know, my son or daughter is a senior this year and we really need sports. And I agree. Sports is a big part of the education process, especially in our rural school districts where that's where a lot of the friends, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of teamwork comes together. You know, the Illinois Department of Public Health is looking at it from the standpoint of protecting the athletes and protecting the schools and protecting the students. So it's a tough balance to make. And IHSA, of course, they're relying on the Illinois Department of Public Health to provide some guidance. We have seen some summer sports activities that have resulted in some high numbers of contagious athletes or infected athletes in those summer sports. So I think we're approaching this from a very cautious standpoint, but certainly we all want to see our sports and we want to see our schools open, but the key word is that we open safely. And I know, talking with many superintendents throughout the district and hearing from, like I said, parents, just a few parents, of what this does mean. And of course, to our communities, it means a lot to have the football field lights on Friday nights and to have the gym lights open and on for our indoor sports during the fall season. So I'm certainly hopeful we can get a good plan together, but once again, it's going to take some phone calls and some people motivated to call the IHSA or to call legislators or send us emails, just as that reminder. But certainly hopeful that we can come to a safe way of conducting these sports. And we're going to have a better understanding, too, I think, as we see our professional sports start opening up here in the next couple of days, how those events take place. So,
But as you see it, I guess a better question is as you see it, you know, the return to play in terms of high school sports in Illinois, that is an Illinois Department of Public Health issue and not a legislative issue?
Correct. Yes, that is the Illinois Department of Public Health is making the recommendations and standing with the governor making the recommendations and with the those decision makers to put these plans together of how we're going to do this, how to keep facilities clean, how to do the equipment. So it's the Illinois Department of Public Health in collaboration with the IHSA putting the guidelines together.
All right. And a lot of this stuff we're talking about today relates to the pandemic. And there was a lawsuit filed, if you want to call it litigation, filed in downstate Illinois, Clay County, by Representative Darren Bailey. And, you know, a lot of the reaction to this suit that you've heard is, well, Illinois is back open. But nobody quantifies or qualifies just what that means. So when I hear, like, Illinois is open, okay, so we can just, it's pre-pandemic, we can just go about, do whatever we want, like we were doing before mid-March of this year, and businesses can just do whatever they want to do, schools can do whatever they want to do, like when you say we're open again. So I'm asking you, as state representative representing Mercer County, what does that ruling mean for me, who lives on the south side of Aledo?
Well, from the interpretation I've received and what I'm hearing from, I'm not a lawyer, but what I'm hearing is that applies to Clay County, and we know that this is going to be here very soon. It'll be going to the appellate courts, and we've seen in the past where several other pieces of legislation that's been brought against the governor, whether it's the federal courts or state courts, have upheld the governor's pandemic rulings. It's very unfortunate that so many of the cases, you know, we've seen where churches have brought forward cases. We've seen where businesses have brought cases forward against the governor, but it seems that the courts are siding with Governor Pritzker and the authority he has, along with the Illinois Department of Public Health, on the pandemic. Believe me, there's no one who would who wants to open up as much as I do, but you know, currently we're still under the governor's guidance and under the governor's rulings and his authority, and you know, it's unfortunate that the courts are such that this doesn't affect all of Illinois. I'm encouraged that as we move forward, as we're able to open our schools in a safe manner, that possibly more of the counties will open up. You know, we are seeing an increase in numbers within Mercer County itself, and I know Carla and the health department is monitoring very closely where those numbers are happening and how the relationships are coming about. So, yeah, it's still in the courts. The courts are going to make a decision here as we move forward. You know, Illinois Supreme Court's going to weigh in pretty soon after the appellate courts, if it is a statewide implication or not. So, you know, I get messages all the time about this ruling, Jim. I really do, and it's I just tell people to proceed with caution that unless it comes out of the governor's authority, that the courts don't, this Clay County judge does not have the ability to override those governor's orders with it coming from the pandemic side. So it's unfortunate, but, and I know I've had a lot of, like I said, I've had a lot of people come out and ask me, why are we still in phase four? Why aren't we under the Darren Bailey court rulings? And basically it's that there's some conflict in whether that ruling is a Clay County or a statewide ruling. So
all right,
kind of where we're at.
I appreciate the elaboration on that, and I wanted to get the local state rep who represents Mercer County to relay his interpretation of that. You know, the big debate in this pandemic is what? We know it is this mask issue, and everybody, you know, I shouldn't say everybody, but the huge debate always becomes this, like, political debate that basically boils down to, well, if you support masks, are wearing masks, you're somehow saying you're against the president of the U.S., Donald Trump. So somehow this debate has got involved. It has resorted to some kind of debate like that. So, and I saw Congressman Darren LaHood come out last week. We had audio of him saying, you know, people should wear masks and abide by or follow the CDC guidelines and Department of Public Health guidelines and abide by that and social distancing. Where do you stand on this whole mask debate?
Oh, wow, Jim, we gotta go there, don't we? You know, I respect the business side of it. You know, if a business says I need to wear a mask going into their business, they're trying to protect their customers too. So I respect them for what their intent is and what they're trying to do. This past weekend, I traveled throughout quite a lot of Mercer County, Knox County, even over to Bureau County, and you see all flavors of people with masks on and people without masks. I lean more to when I'm by myself or when I'm in my car or when I have the opportunity not to have to wear a mask, I don't wear the mask. But when I go into a business that requires me to wear the mask, I wear the mask. It's not by my choice, but in respect to that business for what they're trying to do and what they're doing to protect their customers. I hope, and I often comment, what are we coming to with this mask debate, and where's it going to end? And I just hope it ends soon enough, and we're able to move on beyond all these discussions, and we look back and say, gosh, that was a pretty tough time we went through there in the 2020 year.
Yeah, and what you just explained, I do exactly what you do. If I'm in my car by myself, I'm not going to wear a mask. You know, if I'm in a remote area, not by a lot of people, I'm not going to wear a mask. Now, if I go into a business and they require me to wear a mask, yes, I'm going to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And if I go into Casey's and a 19-year-old kid is working part-time and the company policy at that store is you got to wear a mask, I'm not going to get in a fight with that kid saying, no, I'm not going to wear a mask. You know, and that's my problem with the whole issue when people want to take on a 19-year-old kid at Casey's. because he's following the company line of our business, says, will you please wear a mask? You're required to wear a mask. And then some adults want to take on a 19-year-old kid working part-time that's put in that position. So that's, you know, that's why I'm following what you're doing, that if they're going to ask me to wear a mask at that business, I'm going to do it. But if I'm in a remote area, I mean, this is common sense for me. And what you're saying is common sense. You know, if you're in remote areas and you, in those remote areas automatically give you social distance, no, you don't have to wear a mask. And you don't have to wear a mask in your car if you're by your lonesome. So what you're explaining sounds pretty reasonable to me, long story short.
And you know, especially when we're talking Alito or some of our small communities, we know those business people. We don't want to put them in jeopardy of, and as you said, that 19-year-old employee working at Casey's, you know, we don't need to jeopardize their jobs because we don't want to put a mask on. Nobody, I hate wearing that mask. I took every opportunity when we were in session back in May to be drinking a water. If I was drinking water, I didn't need to wear the mask. I drowned myself in water, decided I didn't have to wear the mask. But I just don't like it. It's in the way of everything. I feel I need those freedoms. But you know, when we look at those small businesses, the people who run Mercer Market or Casey's or McDonald's or any business we want to talk about in Alito, out of respect for those employers, out of respect for those business owners, it's put a mask on and go about your business.
All right. Well, we've taken enough of your time, sir. We'll let you get out there. You need to probably bale some hay today because the temperatures aren't as high as today. Or no, wait till the mercury gets back in the 90s in heat index readings to the triple digits, because that's usually good hay baling weather, as they say,
exactly.
In the prairie, right?
Right. Well, right now we're going through loading out our hog buildings, and it gets kind of warm in those buildings, too. It's a couple loads of hay worth loading a semi-load of hogs.
Yeah, as they say, there ain't no cool job on the farm in the summer, that's for sure. Well, I appreciate your time, Representative Swanson. Thank you very much. Stay safe out there.
All right, thanks. You too, Jim.
You're listening to WRMJ.